European markets were in buoyant mood today, while the US, still in the early hours of its trading day, is up, but tentatively so. Tensions between the US and China continue to brew further, and there are, of course, internal tensions going on in the United States following the murder of George Floyd last week. Chinese PMI numbers have improved quite substantially, and there are stories of oil tankers queuing to deposit crude oil in that country, suggesting that there is some industrial momentum taking place there. The All-Share Index ended the day up 0.9% at 50,930 index points, with industrials up more than 1% and resources up exactly 1%, well, 0.97% to be precise. While financials had a bad day, they were down 0.75%. The local currency is trading around 17.42 against the US dollar, 19.37 against the euro, while against the British pound, it's trading at around 21.70. Well, to take us through the markets, I'm joined on the line by Gary Boyson. He's a portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Thanks very much, Gary, for joining us. So markets on the up, but US markets tentatively so, as I said. Are there different things happening in the different regions? Because Europe was up quite nicely.
I think Europe is following on really from the positivity that we saw in Asia this morning. That really came after Donald Trump held back, I suppose, the worst of actions that he could have taken and only declared, only revoked at least Hong Kong's special status. He didn't go so far as to say that he would withdraw from the phase one trade deal. He also didn't place any new tariffs. He also didn't freeze any Chinese citizen assets in the U.S. And I think markets took heart from that over the weekend, and it helped to lift Asia, and that flowed into Europe as well. We are starting to see markets come off in the U.S. now, and I think, there's just been this absolute split between, obviously, the very graphic images that we're seeing of the protests across the U.S. and what financial markets are pricing. Part of it maybe has to do with the cheaper money flowing into the system, but certainly there's just an absolute difference between financial market prices and economic reality at the moment. And perhaps people, these traders and investors in U.S. securities tonight starting to try and reprice their assets.
How are you viewing China right now? Like I was saying, their PMI numbers are looking better. And of course, there's stories of queues of oil tankers waiting to deliver oil there. But of course, even if they're doing better, they have to deal with the rest of the world, which isn't doing so well.
Well, of course, we live in a globalized society, and as much as we've seen, an unwinding of that, all the progress was made, for example, the Doha Round and the dropping of tariff barriers and the promotion of global trade over the last, 20 years. We have seen a reversal of that over, let's say, the last 3 years, but there's no question we're still a very, very globalized society, and, China can't act in isolation. China is the manufacturing base of the world, and, if we have significant drop off in consumer spending in the likes of the U.S., that is going to impact China. But certainly, we're operating in such a difficult and such an unprecedented environment now that, the comparison of one number to the next is pretty difficult, because different regions are obviously opening their lockdown criteria and businesses are getting back to work at different speeds. So it's more difficult to read the economic numbers at the moment. But obviously, China having been one of the first countries to move in. I think it was the first country to move into very aggressive lockdowns. It's encouraging to see the data kind of starting to improve there, obviously, as they continue to monitor the situation.
Yeah. Here at home, as I did mention, industrials and resources were up, but financials were down quite a bit, 0.75%. Are there any dynamics happening here?
Yeah, I think certainly so. The industrial, at least the top of the gainers today was, certainly on my kind of rough top 40 watch list, was Sasol, up 11.6%. Part of this, I think, is largely to do with the potential agreements between the OPEC Plus members to extend some of their output cuts. Saudi Arabia wants to extend their output cuts all the way into the end of the year. Russia is holding back a little bit, saying that there should be a gradual increase in supply. And that's obviously helping oil prices, helping the likes of Basel as well. On the downside, because it was early FA Income Financial, so we had Standard Bank down almost 5%, but Bitterworth down 5.8%. Standard Bank obviously released numbers today as well. And just I think, when you look at a banking stock, they're really highlight just the pain that our economy is going through. They're obviously warning around the credit loss ratios. They're saying that they are expecting a lot of their loans to at least a lot of their customers potentially to default. They are going to have to renegotiate a lot of their loan terms. When you look at new business numbers as well, when you had the very, very strict South African lockdown, people aren't buying cars, so they're not getting vehicle finance.
Yeah.
People aren't buying and selling houses. When you're essentially in a level 5 lockdown, new home loans are not being granted, and that really is going to put a lot of pressure on the number. On at least on Standard Bank's numbers, and the market punishing the stock on the back of that. We already know that the dividend has been cut. This is on the advice of the Reserve Bank. The dividends are one of the things that people look for in banking stocks.
Yes.
And with that being cut, Standard Bank are coming, I think, a less attractive counter.
Yeah. So at a broader level, I suppose, when you look at the banking sector in general, this is going to be a recurring theme for all of them because they're basically, dealing in the same market. So in the short term, this is negative news for shareholders, but presumably because of, how heavily regulated they are and they do have masses of reserves, they will be able to survive on the other side.
No, I think, if we're questioning our big four bank survival, then we're in a far worse position than potentially I think the mainstream media certainly is publishing. Absolutely. You look at our big four banks. They're very well capitalized. They are. The Reserve Bank has advised them to cut dividends just as a method of shoring up some capital. It's a protective measure. I think the issue around the South African banks is I think they are very sound. They're very well capitalized. The issue is for investors, certainly, and when I say investors, I'm talking equity investors, is where is the potential growth going to come from these banks?
Yeah.
I don't think there's any risk of them defaulting, but, if I was a bondholder, I wouldn't be concerned. But as an equity holder where you want to take a share of the profits, it's difficult to see in a low-growth environment like South Africa currently, and certainly I think what economists are projecting for the next, say, 6 to 12 to 18 months, how the banks are going to grow earnings. And I think that, for me, is potentially where the risk lies in the banks. Not that they're going to default, but rather that they're not going to be able to grow like potentially some of their developed market counterparts.
Yeah.
And that's from where the risk is coming. These are good quality banks, and I wouldn't worry about it from a systemic point of view at this stage.
Mm. My next question is very much linked to what you've just been saying about the growth potential. Pre-COVID, or they call it BC, before COVID, we were in a pretty bad state as an economy. But of course, it is good news that we've moved to level 3 now, where there's going to be a little bit more economic activity, an additional 8 million people going back to work. What are your thoughts about that? Are you that excited or not really, given the fact that pre-COVID, we were not doing so well?
I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. I think I'm not excited. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm concerned because I think, as you say, now comes the point where we almost switch the key and we see if the engine turns over. We essentially shut down the majority of the economy, and now comes the time to see how fast we can get this economy working again. And, unfortunately, this is such an unusual situation where, so many sectors and so many businesses just can't not operate for 2 months and then be turned back on as if nothing happened. So I think my concern really is that a lot of people are going to go back to work to find out that the businesses that they previously worked for are not quite the same businesses as they were.
Mm.
And potentially the opportunity for those businesses are no longer there. I think there's going to be a dramatic shift in the way that our economy runs. And it's not just the people that can work from home potentially could work from home more. It's not that suddenly we're all going to be doing online shopping instead of going to the shops. It's more fundamental than that. I think the weaker businesses are not going to survive.
Hmm.
I think we're going to shed an enormous amount of jobs. We have national treasury projections saying that unemployment in South Africa could be as high as 50%. That is just absolutely terrifying. And I mean, if we look at the kinds of protests that we're seeing, and the protests are not just happening in the US.
Yes.
You get the sense that this is a dry forest, and it just takes a match to strike. So, and the fire to be lit. And I think we're in for a very, very difficult time economically speaking. And
mm.
that's, that has me very, very worried.
Indeed. Gary, thank you so much as always for your time. That was Gary Boyson. He's a portfolio manager at RAND Suisse.